Yes. Welcome once again to the Earth Mystery Show. It's the 10th of May, 2010, and boy, do we have a fun show planned for you today. But before we start, let's thank the underwriters for the Earth Mystery Show: Sierra Solar Systems, Grass Valley Judo and Fitness, and Hummingbird Medicine. Sierra Solar Systems has been serving the foothills and the environment for 30 years, offering PG&E and remote system design and installation. Their solar-powered showroom and warehouse is at the Alternative Building Center at 563 Idaho Maryland Road in Grass Valley. 530-273-6754 or sierrasolar.com on the web. Grass Valley Judo and Fitness, a community-based sport, health, and wellness center offering classes in judo, yoga, and various martial arts with a full gym, infrared sauna, and massage studio at 131 Jaworski Avenue in Grass Valley or gvjudo.com. Hummingbird Medicine, sound mind, sound body, providing sound healing, therapeutic massage, and counseling in downtown Nevada City. Hummingbird's Sound Meditation Group meets Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Reservations and appointments are available at 530-265-2042 or hummingbirdmedicine.com. Before we start today's wonderful show, I'm Haynes Ely. This is KVMR 89.5 FM in Nevada City. Our guest next week on the Earth Mystery Show is Richard Boylan. And I got this email from him, so I thought it would be important to share this with you before he comes on the show next week. And he says, "Friends, the psychic abilities which star seed adults and star kids have can often be put to social benefit. An outstanding example of this is the remote viewing work below, which my close associates, Wendy and Fran, have been recently engaging in the past few days. They have foreseen that about 9 days from now, there will be an enormous 9.2 magnitude great quake along a 1,500-mile stretch of north-central Mexico. The quake will be situated along the Sierra Madre Occidental, a very long ridge of mountains which forms the continental divide in much of Mexico and is the defining mountain range of western north-central Mexico, much like the Sierra Nevada mountain range here. That monster earthquake zone will extend from the U.S.-Mexican border at Antelope Wells, New Mexico, southward past east of Hermosillo, and past east of Culiacan, loops around Durango, the epicenter area, as much as you can call this monster having an epicenter, and extends southward past Zacatecas and down to where the Sierra Madre Occidental Range crosses Mexico Highway 70 between Aguas Calientes and San Luis Potosí, where the seismic peters out according to my energy signature readings. So it's going to be one of the largest earthquakes on record, and, wow. If it works, if it happens, Richard will be like the greatest prognosticator, predictor in the world. If it doesn't, well, we have until next week when he's on the show to see if we're going to have a gigantic earthquake in Mexico. Hope not. And I have one of my favorite people here in the studio with me, my daughter Rebecca, and Alvis Legate.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
Oh, I got to turn your microphone on before you can make any smarty comments. Let's turn you on, and let's turn Rebecca on. Okay. They are the stars of a play, A Few Good Men. And I have seen this play twice, and I'm not seeing it because my daughter's in it. I'm seeing it because I like it. And I've seen probably 100 live theater group presentations in Nevada City because my kids were all in theater, especially Rebecca. And this is the best one I've ever seen. I congratulate you guys. I mean, yeah. I've seen it twice, and I'm coming back to see it a couple more times. And it's not boring, and I'd actually recommend seeing it more than once because it gets better when you know what's going on.
Oh, that's great to hear. It's a really fun show to do on stage.
Yeah, and you guys were going to do a little bit of it for me today here, and then we're going to have Jeff Popejoy, our regular guest for the day, Sienna Goals here with me, learning the board. So this is like a, you know, Earth Mysteries party. So, you know, how long have you guys been doing this play?
Well, this is actually the second time Legacy Productions has done it. We did this back in 2007 at the Nevada Theater.
I remember.
For 3 weekends only. And that was Legacy's first full stage production. And that was back when the Nevada Theater was very difficult to get in there. So we squeezed in 3 weekends in the middle of summer, not the best slot. So a lot of people didn't get a chance to see it. So we've been having a lot of people for the last 3 years say, "When are you bringing that show back?" And we were able to bring it back. A lot of the cast came back. Becca is new to the cast, which is really exciting to us. She's great to work with. So we have some fresh blood and some people that did it last time.
And how long is it running, and when is it playing?
We run through May 23rd, so we have 2 weekends left. We have Fridays and Saturdays at 8 o'clock. We have both Sunday matinees, the next 2 Sundays at 2, and then not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday, the 20th, we have a 7 p.m. show.
Cool. Well, you'll see me there.
Good.
And I usually fall asleep. I'm not good at staying awake.
I can vouch for that. And he snores as he falls asleep.
I stayed awake the whole way through.
I've done that in the theater before myself.
Yeah, so.
But this, I don't think you will. Very exciting.
It's really an exciting play, and you don't want to get up to go to the bathroom because you might just miss the crucial lines or something. I mean,
true.
It's really
very fast-paced, and a lot happens within the couple
of
hours.
Not only fast-paced, but everybody in it's good. And I'm just amazed that you got together a cast where every single actor is good. And in live theater, especially in small-town productions, there's usually a dud or two. There's usually someone who can barely remember their lines. I didn't see anybody in the play that was a dud. They were all right on top of it and very sharp. And
we're very blessed to have this. For a small town like this, we have amazingly professionally trained actors on this stage, and they're just, it's, we have some guys that have just a few lines, and they have degrees in theater.
Yeah,
no, it's like, wow, that's great.
It is great.
It makes my job easier when everybody's believable, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I remember you were so worried about remembering your lines. You have so many lines, and I've never seen you in all the theater I've seen you in ever drop a line, so I knew.
Don't jinx me, Dad.
Well, she was great, too, because she had, not only is she the only woman in a cast of 17 men,
yeah.
But she's also one of the only leads, as far as the main principal characters, she's really the only one that is new to the cast. And she showed up at first rehearsal, and she had our lines memorized.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
That's my girl. So, nepotism aside, how about if you guys give us a little a taste of what the play's like?
Okay, well, this is a scene towards the beginning of the play. I play Lieutenant Daniel Caffey. I'm a rookie Navy lawyer just out of Harvard Law School. And I've just been assigned to a murder case. And you want to tell us a little bit about your character?
Yes, I'm Lieutenant Commander Joanne Galloway, and I want this case. I have reopened the case. I want to defend a young Marine who basically murdered somebody because he was ordered to, but the question is it murder, or was he just following an order? And I feel very passionately about the case, therefore I reopened it. And instead, the case was issued to Alvis because he is inexperienced, so they're hoping he loses the case, essentially. And I'm upset that he's been detailed to the case. So I'm basically frustrated that he's not taking his job seriously. In the scene we're about to perform, he's playing baseball while his clients are suffering and needing his assistance. And I'm really educated. I'm on top of it. I want the case. I'm determined. I'm pretty uptight as a character. And I'm ready to work for this, so I feel resentful that he is assigned to the case.
And to me, it's just another plea bargain. So I decide to go out and practice some baseball rather than going to meet my new clients.
He doesn't even know his clients, which you'll find out in the scene.
All right, here we go. All right, man on first. One down. Let's go for two. Hit a few out to Sherby. Get your glove down, Sherby. You got to get your glove down. Pick up some dirt with that ball.
Excuse me.
1 second. I need you to trust me, Sherby. If you keep your eyes open while the ball's coming towards you, your chances of catching the ball increase by a factor of 10. Hey, you want to suit up? We need all the help we can get.
No, thank you. I can't throw and catch things.
That's too bad, because these
guys wanted to talk to you about Corporal Dawson and PFC Downey.
Those names sound like they should mean something to me, but it's just not clicking.
Harold Dawson and Loudon Downey.
If you give me just one more hint, I'm sure I could come up with...
Dawson, Downey, your clients.
The Cuba thing, yes. Dawson and Downey. Right, I was... I don't know for a second, but yes. Lance Corporal Dawson and...
PFC Downey.
Yes. I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Lieutenant Commander Joanne Galloway.
I've done something wrong, haven't I?
Yes. I was wondering why two guys have been in jail since this morning while their lawyer's outside playing with a ball.
We need the practice.
That wasn't funny.
It was a little funny.
Have you read the IC-1?
You mean, like, actually read it?
No, I mean, have you read it in the abstract?
No, it's on my desk, very close to the top of the pile.
Lieutenant, would you feel very insulted if I recommended to your supervisor that he assign different counsel?
Why?
I don't know how to say this without possibly hurting your feelings, but I don't think you're fit to handle this defense.
Well, you don't even know me. Normally it takes someone hours to discover I'm not fit to handle a defense. Oh, come on, that was damn funny.
I do know you. I know you went to Harvard Law on a Navy scholarship. And I know you're probably just treading water for the 3 years you've got to serve, just kind of laying low till you can get out and get a real job. And that's fine. And I won't tell anyone. But my feeling is if this case is handled in the same fast food, slick-ass, Persian bazaar manner with which you seem to handle everything else, something's going to get missed. And I wouldn't be doing my duty if I allowed Dawson and Downey to spend more hours in jail than necessary because their attorney had predetermined the path of least resistance.
Wow. I'm sexually aroused, Commander. I'm not kidding.
I don't think your clients murdered anybody.
We'll just have to take their word for it,
won't we? I don't think there was any intent.
What are you basing this on?
Instinct.
Instinct? The doctor's report says that Santiago died of asphyxiation brought on by acute lactic acidosis, and that the nature of the poison, the acidosis strongly suggests poisoning. I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds pretty bad.
The doctor's wrong.
Oh, what a relief. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to use the liar, liar, pants on fire defense.
Good one. That was funny.
Thank you. Look, rest assured, I'm completely on top of the situation with Dawson and Donnelly.
Downey.
Downey.
Right. I'll speak to your supervisor.
Oh, I understand. You go straight up Pennsylvania Avenue. It's the big white house with the pillars in front.
Thanks.
I don't think you'll have much luck, though.
Why not?
I was detailed by JAG, remember? Somebody over there is under the impression I'm a good lawyer, so while I appreciate your interest and admire your enthusiasm, I think I can pretty much cover things myself at this point.
Do you know what a code red is?
No.
What a pity.
Cool. You have to see it to believe it. I mean, the sound of the words is great. You guys are wonderful actors, but the facial expressions and the uniforms and the scenery, oh, it's just wonderful. And I've got some free tickets, but I'm going to, Albus gave me, I'm going to use those as a pledge, whatever you want to call it, premiums for next week when I'm doing
Excellent.
A pledge show. So if you want free tickets, you can pledge to the station next week. But if you want to just come to the theater, give them the dates again.
Okay, again, we run through the 23rd, so it's the next two weekends. We have Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., with Sunday matinees at 2 p.m., and next Thursday, the 20th, a 7 p.m. show. And tickets are available at Harmony Books in Nevada City, the bookseller in Grass Valley, online at legacypresents.com, or by calling 268-5419.
268-5419. Fabulous play.
Well, thanks, Ains. That means a lot coming from you.
Well,
You've done a little theater yourself.
I've done a little theater myself, and I ham it up on the radio every week.
He even shaved his mustache to play, was it Tweedledee or Tweedledum?
I think I was Tweedledum.
And my uncle was the other one.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, well, I'll let you guys go.
Hey, thanks a lot for having us.
Thank you so much. Love you, Dad.
Love you too, cutie. And thanks for being on the show. This is called Nepotism in Action. And my regular guest for today, I don't know how regular he is Jeff Popejoy. And Jeff's standing outside the door waiting for the crowd to leave. And he's going to come in and he's going to talk to us about dreams and dream therapy. So,
hey, Jeff. Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Come on down. You're
Thank
on.
You.
Take either one of those microphones, and three or four.
Come up here.
And okay. Santa's going to get him up to the microphone and ready to rock. Santa Gold's here. She's been a guest many times, but she's learning to be a broadcaster, so she's helping me with the board and fixing things up. And Jeff, just pull that microphone right down to your front of your face there, and we're ready to roll.
Well, I want to thank you very much. I've long been an admirer of the station's ethics and the format.
Well, I think we do well. I think we do better than most little stations. And you're into dreams, and so let's just have you introduce yourself and tell us how people can get a hold of you, and we'll repeat all that stuff as we go.
My phone number?
Yeah, you need to pull the microphone closer to you. There you go. Okay.
In the 707 area is 849-3055, and I'm in here.
What's the area code, 415?
707.
707.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to repeat that. I just wanted to write
sure.
it down for myself.
Thank you.
We're going to repeat that as we go because then people will know why they're writing down this number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're into dreams, and you have a website. Let's
it
just
is.
Get all that, too.
Thank you. It's at Life's Dreams, plural, Life's Dreams, ends in Z.com. So I thank you for that.
Life's Dreams with a Z.com. Okay.
And on that, they can get the 7 keys to deciphering their dreams and really putting added velocity to their life.
7 keys to deciphering dreams. You know, I've met people that say either they don't dream or that they don't dream in color. Is that possible?
I believe that we are not writing down our dreams enough to remember them, or if we wrote them down more often, we'd remember more of them. More of them come through. We seem to override what's commonly called a dream sensor. So if we don't get in the habit of even snapping these fragments or writing these snapshots of where we were or the activity, we get in the feeling that we don't dream, and hear that a lot. And if
how about black and white dreams? I've had people say they don't dream in color. I thought, how could that possibly be? You see in color. How could you possibly not dream in color?
I think it depends on the person and their lifestyle and their diet and whether they're left or right brain oriented. Different factors. I think a lot of people dream in both, I think.
If they
dream in black and white, great. The more you write them down, I think.
Well, you said snapshots. What I do in my dreams, I have a little Canon Elf camera I carry in my pocket, and it's with me most of the time. And in dreams, I will whip out my little Elf, and I'll take a picture, and I'll make a postcard of it, and I'll mail it to my waking self. And I'll say, here, I don't want to forget this, so I'm going to mail it to my waking self. And then during the day, these little mail bombs will arrive in my head, and I'll be talking to someone. All of a sudden, a postcard will come from a dream, and it just out of nowhere, I'm not thinking of anything, and it just pops in. And then if I'm talking to somebody, it's lost because I have to write it down or sit and think about it. And if I'm talking and delay it, it's gone. It only gets mail one time.
You have great intuition. You may have heard the term waking dream.
Well,
and that's exactly it. And these are these metaphors or things that obviously you can use, and you probably are using.
Well, that's the other side of the coin. I was going to ask you about lucid dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about lucid dreams.
Sure. The difference between, say, a regular dream and a lucid dream seems to be the psyche entering, and it creates a shift between the objective and the subjective. A normal dream is kind of like a patchwork of, if you will, our karmic emotional body. And it plays out our perceptions or some wishful thinking. Lucid dreaming is usually more vivid. And it seems to be a world of its own. People can give themselves an auto-suggestion before going to bed. I'll touch my nose. I will remember my dream. I'll wake up in my dream. And this really helps because we're receptive to our intention in the dream. And it could possibly be, some books point to it being in the mental or Akashic area, if you will. So it really puts you in touch viewing yourself, obviously, within a dream. And I think there's a lot of potential for creativity and some say healing.
So to have a lucid dream, at least the way I work it, is to all the time, just during the day, ask, is this a dream? So that I get used to asking, is this a dream? And then during the night, you know, the it's like a mantra keeps going on, is this a dream? And sometimes the answer is yes, it's a dream, but I don't really want to be lucid, or I don't really want to be in charge. I want to be the dreamer. I want to, you know, I want to go where the dream takes me, not be leading it.
Ah, that's very interesting.
And then I don't remember it. Somebody is persistently phoning. No, they stopped. Okay, but we're okay. Well, all right. Well, you know, this is another habit of mine. I answer the phone. So
if it helps at all,
caller, you want to be live on the air?
You pressed the wrong button.
Caller, you want to be live on the air?
Yes, I do.
You're on the air with Jeff Popejoy.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for this great show. For years, I've been having things I call mythological dreams because they're so obviously distinctively different. And I remember dreams them like from 10 and 20 years ago, and they're clearly not like things you would have in your ordinary lexicon of thought or interest or knowledge. What the heck are these? Where do they come from?
Did you say mythological or
mythological? They're like it's like a myth.
Yeah.
Coming, you know, to me at night. What on earth would this be?
You know, there's a lot of factors. What's going on in your life or in your formative years, parts of your education or your environment. If you're writing them down, I encourage people to write down the location, the activity, the people, especially these, what would be probably called archetypes from Jung.
Yeah, like that.
So if it's a wise old man or if it's a teacher, whoever it is, just circle the characters, and you kind of ask yourself, what does this mean? What does what do I equate to the Great Mother or a snake or whoever these mythic figures are? And pretty soon you'll get a distillation of something that's either happening in your life or something that you can really coalesce into a message for you.
Okay.
Thank you,
Paula. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and how you felt. Another, I think, key thing is as soon as you wake up, how did you feel?
Right.
And so a lot of people ask themselves, what perspective is functioning? Is it fear? Is it my higher self? Is it a guide, dare I say? Is it anger? You know, what aspect?
It would be more along a guide thing, I believe.
Right. And this may not be something you might want to immediately apply to your life, but something you catalog and use in some aspect of your life.
Okay.
At another time.
And do you do workshops?
I have done workshops in Seattle in the 90s. And
anything coming up here?
Most of them lately have been in Santa Rosa. I've given free workshops over there.
Okay.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Thanks for your show.
Yeah, somehow we the buzz must have gotten out that we're answering the phone. Caller, do you want to be live on the air with Jeff Popejoy?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Could you have him talk about repetitive dreams, like over, you know, a 20-year period?
This is your show.
Okay.
So we'll do that.
Okay, thank you. I'll take it off the, I'll listen on the radio.
Okay. How about repetitive dreams?
You know, that's it's always interesting. It really seems to be something, some part of your subconscious really wants to hammer home a point to you. And again, whatever the activity is, the people, the location, and if it's if someone has a let's say is pushy in your dream, and you recognize that character or an aspect of yourself, or someone you know who is like that, a lot of times we'll just slough them off, and the dream will keep coming back. And why I entreat people to, you know, try a different angle. What does pushing mean to you? And if you kind of look at it in a positive way, you might see strident, whatever it means to you. But if there's a positive spin, maybe this aspect is something you want to cultivate or look at or appreciate more, whatever helps you so that you don't dismiss it the next time. Maybe there's got to be some real jewels in there for you.
Hope that answered your question.
Hopefully.
Sienna has a question for you.
Well, along the lines of the repetitive dreams, what I notice and with myself is that I'll decide, geez, I think I'll go visit this place or that place. And I remember I have several places that I've dreamt about pretty much as for as long as I can remember, several different places that I go to. And I reenact the dream. I remember it vividly and reenact the dream. And I was wondering what all that means, along with that, it's always kind of been amazing to me that we do dream, you know, that we fall asleep and forget about what's happening in your day-to-day life, and then all of a sudden you're in a whole nother place. I'm sure you've looked into what that means.
It's so individualistic. What else is familiar? Is there anything about it that's familiar in your external life?
No.
And then
some places are. Some places are, but most are not.
Is it a modern setting? Or not?
Yeah. They're different locations and different, but I know they're different cities.
It's a wonderful thing about our imagination, creating these settings that we formulate subconsciously, and then when our conscious lets go, a lot of times we'll lean into these comfort zones. So whatever they mean to you, and I don't want to transfer my values of what that an environment like that might be, but there's probably some pearls there. And whatever it is about them, whether it's the landscape or something about that atmosphere, a feeling, a sound, a light, I would encourage people to write those down because then we create our own dream dictionary. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about that is our dream symbols will change over time. So always another thing that comes up is to remind people, don't get locked into your symbols, because they will change.
This is KVMR 89.5 FM in Nevada City. I'm Haynes Ely. This is the Earth Mystery Show. And our guest today is Jeff Popejoy. We're talking about dreams. When you dream of someone that's died, I mean, I've been told lots of times, when someone dies that's close to you, they'll come to you in a dream. Both my parents did, especially my father. My wife died. I've never had a dream about her that I can remember. She didn't come to me. Why does someone want to come to you in a dream? Or is that the other way around? Why would you want to dream of somebody that died?
There is a spectrum of answers to that. A lot of times it's you feel there's a key that you wanted to hear, or a karmic connection where something...
You can say anything on the Earth Mystery Show.
No,
our listeners, this is the show that helps you pull the wool over your own eyes. So.
that's right. usually, and that's one of those things that we, on the list there, types of dreams from the departed for various reasons. If it's a kind of a vagueness about them, if they're inactive, then you might want to write down if it feels like an aspect of them in you that you wanted to look at, or if it's really vivid and they seem to have a message for you, then whatever you can cull from that. Sometimes there's some finishing work there. In other cases, when people don't necessarily come to you who have passed on, and I wouldn't give it any excess thought, possibly some karma is complete. Possibly it could happen in the future. It probably brought some insight when whoever does visit you, there's bound to be something there that finishes something or something to be gleaned from the location or the activity.
Always something to be gleaned from a dream. How about if you want to dream about something, can you produce a dream? I mean, let's say you have a real problem and you're trying to solve it in your life. Can you just turn it over into your dream life and say, I like the solution? And
a lot of people would say so, and a lot of people coin that dream incubation, and they'll give themselves an auto-suggestion upon retiring, something they want to work on or solve in some area of their life. And the funny thing is, what most often happens is something entirely different. Your subconscious is going to feed you something else. And rather than get disappointed, a lot of articles would suggest that you cull from that, you know, what seems to be more pressing. And in a series of five or six attempts, something typically will come through in a dream incubation. You're planning this in your subconscious. And I think what really helps a lot of people is, and this is old hat to you guys probably, but getting out of our way and kind of getting to a calm center of yourself, kind of a blankness where you're more spirit or current can come forward, and you're open to receiving. You know, whatever comes will be either part of what you wanted to receive, or something that'll be very present for you.
What about astral? What was that? Astral traveling? We were talking about that the other day. Mm-hmm. Is that do you think that in your dreams that you actually leave your body or?
Well, I do. I really have been studying this for several decades, this arcane esoterica. And even there's an Institute of Noetic Science in Petaluma and some other research facilities that are now becoming into a traditional medicine is now looking at this, because what happens is hyperperception a lot of times happens during days of magnetic calm in our atmosphere. And as far out as that sounds, I think people most often find themselves in an astral area when they dream in our energy field, and it fluctuates. And and where this used to be 20 years ago, this was far-fetched. Now they're point to the zero-point field, and they can pinpoint these photons. And and what they look at, even at zero-point being at absolute zero, there's still this activity with photons that appear to be coming and going out of realms. And so I think this is very connected to in our energy field and how we're affected by the environment. A lot of times we'll determine whether we find ourselves on an astral area, which is basically emotional, a karmic area, where we might possibly be in a past life, a mental area, and there's many fluid realms that overlap. As rather than you hear this world or that world, the bouncing of our attention in the course of a day, you'll find yourself bouncing in between various levels, I believe.
Old people, or people as they age, seem to sleep less and less. I have many patients who complain of insomnia, and they say they sleep only 2 or 3 hours a night. And I wonder why that is. Why, you know, like cats sleep 18 hours a day, babies sleep, you know, 18 hours a day. Why do we sleep less as we get older? If there's a reason that you know.
Well,
I have another question to follow that one up, too.
That's a great question, and I really think it depends on how much stress is in their life, how calm they are at their center, how complete they feel, what their diet is. There is a lot of unspoken stress as people get to be septuagenarians. And
well, that was the next question is, a lot of these people are given sleeping pills, and I don't think it's better living through chemistry. I don't think drugs will make you dream better. I think one of the things about alcohol or drugs that happens is people lose their ability to dream, or at least the ability to remember their dreams.
Absolutely. And I have to stop short of talking about sleep disorders and things that impact good sleeping and good rest. And it does. It just plays havoc with your dreams if you get any rest at all.
Another caller. Caller, do you want to be live on the air with Jeff Popejoy?
Sure.
You're on.
I have a question. I kind of related to what you were just talking about. I do have insomnia, and I have been prescribed medical cannabis, which I use. And when I use it, I sleep quite well. I don't necessarily remember my dreams.
One of the hazards of pot.
Yeah. Well, but a couple of times I've stopped smoking for a period of time. And I have very, very distressing, upsetting dreams on a daily basis. Why would that be?
That's a nebulous term, upsetting.
Very distressing. Sometimes violent, but always very distressing, where I wake up feeling upset.
It's hard to approach these, and probably a good reason why a lot of people don't, but... let's say if someone had a dream of taking a hammer to their friend's car or something like that, something violent and intrusive. And if it's possible to break that down into what my friend's car means to me, what a hammer means to me, they're rarely literal, the dreams, if that's any solace. people have mentioned dreams that were wild to them. I mean, things that abnormal and not socially appropriate. And when they broke it down and looked at the activity and the people, and then whatever, take it another step. If a car means a vehicle, what's a vehicle mean? Does it mean freedom? You take it a second or a third step. All of a sudden, what was a frightening dream. My friend, whatever my friend means to you is happiness. Well, happiness means contentment. All of a sudden, whatever those symbols mean to you, of course, taking them two steps down, all of a sudden, what your subconscious has been feeding you is maybe a sense of urgency and not something alarming.
Hmm.
Possibility.
Well, and it always makes me wonder, is there something I'm missing? Obviously, there must be a message here. And when I'm using pot, then I don't have those dreams. So am I missing something that way?
Other than
sleep?
I've got to stop short of addressing, because I don't know the particulars and the dosage and the issue. If there's... the reasoning,
Let's just wrap it up and say that pot messes with your dreams.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Well, on the other side of that coin, are there chemicals, dietary supplements, vitamins, herbs, anything that will make you dream better?
Yes.
Enjoy your dreams.
Yeah, oddly enough, this can sound funny, but I've read this in two different sources. If you really want to remember your dream at night, right before, half hour before bed, have some bites of soft cheese. Have some Havarti, some brie, and a couple crackers.
How about Calea Zacateca, the dream herb that people in South America, they make a tea of it, and they actually put the leaves in their pillow to increase dreaming.
Right. And that's so much, as you know, there's so much to intention.
Intent, yeah.
And will. And they open them. So this is wonderful, centric to so many societies throughout millennium. They look forward every morning to hearing the tribe would gather around and listen to the kid's dream, or these rituals where they would open themselves up and be clear and get these wonderful, wonderful dreams.
Well, what I found is if I listen to someone else's endless dream when I wake up in the morning, if I had one to tell, it's gone.
Mm.
By paying attention to theirs, I forget mine. You almost have to, at least for me, be very quiet, meditative, and trace your dream backward to the beginning, and sometimes you can go all the way through the night going back, you know, what happened before that. But the interruption of being in the world, of talking or eyes open or paying attention to somebody else, it's very ephemeral. It just goes away.
It does, just like that, as you know. Our attention goes to a different part and memory. Yeah. So, and you're so intuitive, obviously. A lot of people will take it another step and look at the trigger. Whatever the dream was, a lot of times they can point to the last TV show they had, the last something right before they went to bed.
Some of the most lucid dreams I've ever had have been something that happened just before bed. The story was about that.
And you'll point to why does that trigger relevant to the dream. And there'll be a nice line there, a nice segue to really solving it.
I love dreaming. I mean, it's one of the most entertaining things in the world, and one of my guilts is not writing them down. I'm too lazy to get up in the middle of the night because I'm enjoying the comfy pillow, I'm enjoying the dream, and to turn on the lights and sit up and start writing takes me away from that enjoyment.
Absolutely. I cheated for all through the late 80s and early 90s. There was a little recorder by the bed, and you just learn where the play and record buttons are, and you just kind of go over there and you hit them both.
And you talk
your dream.
Wow. That
would be a little easier. Yeah. Well, here comes another call. Funny thing, people are calling. Caller, do you want to be live on the air with Jeff Popejoy?
Yes.
You're on.
Tell me how I can get a hold of your guest.
Get a hold of my guest?
Yes, Mr. Popejoy.
Mr. Popejoy is right here. He'll tell you.
Oh, I would like to just like write him a letter or contact him.
Well, this is a good time to repeat all your information, Jeff.
The area code is 707. It's 849-3055.
Can you say that one more time?
I can. 849-3055.
Area code 707.
Thank you. And also at Life's Dreams. Plural, Life's Dreams, ending with a Z.com.
And on your website, you have 7 keys to deciphering dreams.
Right.
So if people go to that lifesdreams.com, you know, if you don't get an answer listening to the radio today, if you have a particularly recurring dream, you might be able to decipher it with his keys.
Thank you.
There's a nominal fee. I think it's about the price of a sandwich. You can get these. You can solve your own dreams, and
well, there are dream books. And I used to have Betty Bethards on the show when she was still alive.
Oh,
she used to come up all the time and hang out, and people would call up, and she actually wrote a book of dream symbols, what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to argue with her and say, Betty, every symbol is personal. How can there be a symbol that means the same thing to everybody in their dreams? You know, a Christian might dream of fish, and fish, symbolize Christianity. A Muslim might dream of fish, and it represents food. You know, it's
exactly
very different. Another caller.
Exactly.
Caller, do you want to be live on the air with Jeff Popejoy?
Yes.
You're on.
First, Haynes, I'd like to say, after all these years of listening to your show, that there's so much wool that's grown over my eyes that I can't help but fall asleep and dream.
It's down around your knees right now.
and further than that. anyway, to your guest, one of my favorite acts in dreaming is flying, and I find myself flying with my arms out, with my hands, and I fly around and visit people and visit situations and things like that. And I read Castaneda's works in The Art of Dreaming.
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
And Don Juan's dissertation as to the reason we fly is to find places that we need to go to come back and see and fix things that we can in the unreal world when we walk around, when we think we're awake. And I just thought you might talk a little bit about the flying aspect.
Sure. And he had a very interesting take on it. He had a very obviously colorful and imaginative life, certainly shaded by some interesting factors. And I would point to flying being very individualistic. And to some people, it means a loftiness. It, you know, again, the feeling that you have, the location. Some people, it means freedom. You know, it depends on if you're an ex-pilot or if you're a motorcyclist. It's so individualistic and can be whatever you think flying is in that context of the dream, and you take another step and look and ask what that means to you. You'll typically be honing in or getting a distillation of really a good picture of that dream and what the message is and how you can apply it in what's coming up on your life, what's on your horizon.
So do you suggest, as Juan does, to, you know, as a precursor to falling asleep and dreaming, is to consciously say that you're going to find your hands in your dreams so that you can fly?
Do
you use that at all?
That's not my MO. But whatever works for anyone, great. I think the more open you are, the more varied your experiences will be. And
I interviewed Don Juan. I've done the only radio interview with him ever, and I specifically talked to him about dreaming. And I said, Castaneda and the witches say that you have to build up energy for dreaming. And Don Juan said, ridiculous. That's not true at all. That was Carlos's. I didn't say that. Another caller here.
Thank you, though.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello.
You're live on the air.
I have dreams at times that I don't feel like they're me. I have a feeling about me, and I'm awake all the time. This is a me. But then in the dream, it seems as though another person or something else is happening there that is not associated with the me that I know.
Good call. Thanks.
This is a great example of wanting to sit with you and probe a little more into aspects of your life, things that you do, things that you've done in the past. And I'm not trying not to skirt the question, but there's just a lot of factors involved that give this result. And
you mentioned the dream sensor at the very beginning of the show.
Yes.
That might have something to do with her question.
It could. There's part of our subconscious that would like to stay in control. When we wake up, you know, we have a format of things we just have to do, a list, a typical day, and that's our part of ourself saying, your mind saying, I'm too busy to really examine my higher self. So it just censors out this trueness that can filter in and this openness. You seem to be open, so open in some areas at certain times that different perceptions will come through and different feelings and a different aspect of yourself. And there's more to that, but we can override the censor by writing down more of our dreams, and then more we can get a clearer picture, a larger picture of what our trueness is or can be.
Well, whatever's looking out our eyes has a different personality, if you want to call it, than the person that has the eyeballs that is walking around. And sometimes there's a very big lie about your life. You know, the face you're presenting is not the real you at all. And I think the wider the dichotomy is between whatever that consciousness is that's looking out through these eyes and the mask I'm putting on, the bigger that gap, the bigger what she's going to feel in her dreams of the not me having the dream.
Great point.
Well, our hour is winding down, and Eric Tome's coming in to do some book stuff with his show. And let me tell people again about Jeff Hopejoy. His phone number is 707-849-3055. His website is Life's Dreams, and dreams ends with a Z. It's plural, lifesdreams.com. And there's a whole lot of stuff about dreams there. We just barely touched on it today. And if you're ever back in Nevada City, hey, let's do it some more. We'll talk.
Thank you.
You know, dreams is one of those things we could talk about forever, because you saw the phones light up. We didn't even say we're opening the phone board, and people call up and want to talk about dreams.
I didn't tell anybody. In closing, I would only say, don't be afraid of nightmares. You can go back into a dream and change a nightmare.
Would you be up for doing any workshops here?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, maybe somebody out there would be willing to organize one.
Yeah. Well, I think we have people here that do things like mm-hmm. that, and I think this sounds like a lot of interest. So
I've loved this town for years.
Cool. Well, let me thank the underwriters for the hour so that Eric can come in. And where did they go? Oh, here they are. Sierra Solar Systems, serving the foothills and the environment for 30 years. Offering PG&E and remote system design and installation. Their solar-powered showroom and warehouse is the Alternative Building Center, 563 Idaho Maryland Road in Grass Valley, 530-273-6754 or sierrasolar.com. Also, Grass Valley Judo and Fitness, a community-based sport, health, and wellness center, offering classes in judo, yoga, and various martial arts with a full gym, infrared sauna, and massage studio. At 131 Jaworski Drive in Grass Valley or gbjudo.com. Thanks also to Hummingbird Medicine, Sound Mind, Sound Body, providing sound healing, therapeutic massage, and counseling in downtown Nevada City. Hummingbird's Sound Meditation Group meets Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Reservations and appointments are available at 530-265-2042 or hummingbirdmedicine.com. Next week, our guest is Richard Boylan. At the beginning of the show, if you didn't hear it, I read a little thing that came to me, an email from him predicting a 9.2 earthquake in the Central Mountains of Mexico. And if that prediction comes true, we'll be talking about it. If it doesn't, I'll probably lay low on ribbing him about it. Until next week, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, there'll be world peace. Thanks for coming on, Jeff.
Thank you so much.